Peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when I was about 18 years old, I had this dream of what I was going to do professionally. I was going to be a radio DJ. And so to be a radio DJ, you go off to school, enroll in the School of Communications, and you get a job at a radio station. And so when you have a job at a radio station, you sit behind a mic, you play records, and you have this dream of being able to just do things quite right. So when you hit that button and the little red light comes on and the microphone's there, you say things that would hopefully come across like WCCB, Clarion's Only Rock, this is Mark taking you through the morning, here's a little Aerosmith to get you through the day. So that's what you hope to say. Actually, I hope to say it now. I'm pretty grateful I was able to do that. Because a lot of times you hit that button and you go, this is Mark, good morning, and it doesn't quite go the way you plan. It's one of the problems you have when you're doing something live. And other people are listening. You know, in my case, there had to have been at least 12 people, I think, that were out there listening when I was on the air. The other problem you'd have would be remembering to turn the mic off. Open mic. It is a problem. I was fortunate enough because I was attuned to being able to see the red light, so I knew red light meant open mic, turn mic off, red light goes off, everything's fine. But there were people I worked with who didn't quite seem to get it. There was one girl in particular, I can't remember her name, but she always would leave the mic on, and so the music would be playing, and she'd be on the phone having a conversation with a friend of hers or have some friends in the studio, and they're talking about, and you'd either hear this noise, or on really poor occasions, you'd hear them, when they were too close to the microphone, actually gossiping about a friend of theirs. So her 12 people got to hear things that they probably would be better off not hearing. Open mics can cause us all kinds of problems. They can embarrass us. They can get us into trouble. And open mics are things that really happen a lot more now than they used to. If you think about it, we all carry microphones with us pretty much. We all carry the camera and the video. And so those actions that take place there a lot of times are recorded and we don't even realize that it's going on. And sometimes it's people just don't understand the technology. Nigel Hayes learned that lesson. Nigel Hayes played for the University of Wisconsin Badgers basketball team. They were in the NCAA tournament last year and they were having a press conference. And so there Nigel sat with two of his teammates. And in the middle of the press conference, Nigel turned to one of his teammates and said, "She's really beautiful." Because there was a stenographer who worked for the NCAA who was down typing everything out, and he was apparently mesmerized with her looks. Then he turned and said, "Oh, did you hear that?" And he covered his face in embarrassment as the entire world heard Nigel voicing his admiration for this unseen woman. That's one of the humorous ones. Other ones take place, we hear a lot in politics. One of the more famous ones was President Ronald Reagan. He was doing a sound check at some point, and during the sound check, since he had to talk for them to get audio levels, went on to say, "I've just signed legislation to outlaw Russia. The bombing will commence soon." Needless to say, the Russian people were not overly enamored by these comments. We have to be careful, because it is a world of open mics. It's a world where we don't know who's listening to the things that we say. A world where we don't know who's recording the things we might be saying. And it's a world that reminds us exactly what James was talking about in our second lesson, about the damage and the deadly consequences that can occur with something as small as the tongue. It can do some pretty serious damage sometimes. Offhanded comments, backroom whispers that always seem to get out, comments about somebody's behavior, their looks, or the way they dress, comments about relationships that we might be in. All of these things can sometimes really tear down the relationships that people have with one another, because those comments can be extremely damaging. I found out this week, too, that the exact opposite is true. That when we think and when we offer comments that are supportive and kind, that they can do a lot to be able to lift somebody up. I got a phone call this week from Lee Stadell. None of you know Lee, so I can say his name. Lee used to own an organ company, musical organ, not human organ. And I'd help Lee out every once in a while in terms of doing installations and different things like that. Well, Lee called me up this week. It was on Friday to thank me, because I was part of that enormous group of people that set out for rescue efforts following the 9/11 disaster in New York City. And for whatever reason, he remembered that I did that. And he just called to thank me, which really meant a whole lot more than I ever thought it would. And I was really grateful for that phone call. So it goes both ways. With those words that we choose, when we choose to share them, and how we choose to share them, that they can build up or they can tear down. But the problem is, the tongue is such a powerful weapon that when we choose to use them to tear things down, either intentionally or unintentionally, the damage that's done is far greater than the good that can come from kind words. And the damage done will take so much more kindness on our part simply to lift them up. Well, it seems like it might be a world where the open mic is so much more prevalent. You can't tell Peter that. Every comment that Peter made that wasn't quite right, we retell it year after year after year. His recording never runs out. And so here we have Peter using his tongue, using his brain, using his faith. And Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter straightens his back up, clears his throat, proudly looks Jesus square in the eye and says, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. Yay, Peter! And the other 11 disciples are sitting there kicking the rocks going, well, I knew that. And James is saying, I knew I should have said something. It's always Peter jumping in there. And so we give Peter this great credit because he's the genius. He's the one willing to speak out. He's the one willing to make the statement of faith that this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is the one who we follow. This is the one who's going to change our world. And then Jesus says, well, this is what it means to be the Messiah. Not quite what Peter was expecting. So, hey Jesus, come here. I need to talk to you for a second. You were just kidding about that other stuff, weren't you? This isn't what a Messiah is supposed to do. It's not about placing yourself at risk. It's not about being killed. It's not about being tortured. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. It's got to be something better than this. And Jesus turns Peter back towards his disciples. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." Going down the wrong path here. And so in one fell swoop, Peter climbs to the top of the mountain and then gets booted off the side of the cliff. Almost voted off the island. It is important for us in terms of being ones who proclaim Jesus Christ as the Messiah to truly understand about what we're going to use our tongues for. And it's not necessarily just simply stating that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who's come to change the world. It's a whole lot more than that. Because you see, when we claim to be Christians, when we allow the world to know exactly what our faith is and what it means to us, and that we're members of Living Water Lutheran Church, and we are those who proclaim Christ as King, when our tongues start going off in directions they shouldn't go, are we proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah? When we start talking about the faults and the failings of our neighbors, are we proclaiming Christ as King? When we start bad-talking our spouse or our children or our relatives or our neighbors because of actions that we don't agree with, are we allowing the world to understand what it means to truly be a Christian? You see, James was right when he talked about the whole idea of it being difficult to be a teacher. Because when you're a teacher, whether it's in a public school system or whether you're a teacher or a mentor for somebody else growing in the faith, your words mean so much more than you could ever imagine. And so when those words turn to destruction, when those words turn to hatred, when those words turn to evil, the world looks at us and scratches their head and questions how it is that we can be ones to claim Christ to be King. Claim Jesus to be the Messiah. When we're tearing down people because of their skin color, their religious affiliation, their faith-based needs, their sexuality, or any other reason. When we tear people down and try to destroy the fabric of humanity, are we proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah? Are we saying something totally different? When Peter stood up that day, he won the prize. He got it right. And then 30 seconds later, just like when you bet it all on one of those game shows, it seemed that he went home with nothing. But the reality is for us, we have that opportunity each and every day of our lives to stand forth and boldly proclaim Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. But with that proclamation comes the responsibility to live our lives out each and every day as ones who follow so close behind that Lord, doing the work that God has called us to do, living our lives as God expects us to do, and saying the words that God would have us say. Not using our tongues to tear things down, but using our words to build things up. Using what God has given us to be a blessing to the world around us, allowing people to know the gifts that they share are truly gifts that God has blessed them with, and thanking them for those gifts, thanking them for what they share each and every day, and making sure that we can do everything possible to be able to uphold people within their situations, whether they be good or bad. Proclaiming through our words and proclaiming through our deeds that Christ truly is King. This is the Messiah that we follow. And we follow this Messiah because God has blessed him within our lives. And within that blessing, we have the ability to stand boldly like Peter and proclaim that fact to the world. Not simply in our words, but in our deeds and in our lives and in the love that we share. When we do those things, we proclaim louder than Peter ever proclaimed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Amen.